stuff. So I'm trying to see how we're going to approach this parenting thing and this child rearing thing. Big kids, little kids. I think the little kids are fine. It's the big kids. Isn't that right, sweetie? That's exactly right. I'm fine and you're fine as long as I don't come down there and I won't come up here. I got it. Hey, sweetie. Yeah, sure. Anything. Look here, Genesis 16. And we read all verses. Let's pick up at verse number 7 here this evening, and we will go from verses 7 to 16. And I want to get us some help here once again this evening, and just see what the Lord has for us. And appreciate the good singing, Brother Bernard. Thank you for teaching us some of the songs, and it could be a little painful at times, but praise God, amen. Every time he's come, he's introduced us to a couple of new songs, at least not necessarily sang here. And that songbook's got a lot of songs in it. It's got more than 10 hymns in it. You might be surprised that songbook's probably got more than 10. I think between me and Brother Wayne, so we might get 10 to 15 in there, whatever the case may be. You got people making requests and carrying on. I'm trying to think, what's wrong with these unthankful people? They don't like the songs that we not skip our time. But no, thank you for that, and that's very, very good, and just a blessing. Verse number 7 here, and Genesis chapter number 16. And we looked at this morning, going forward by faith and patience. Amen. Faith and patience. And so this evening we want to look at what I call the common cure for impatience. All right. Or the cure for impatience. And so we're going to look at some things here. And the Bible says this: and the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to the mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, and it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahori. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son, and called his son's name, which Hagar bare, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God. Thank you for the singing and the spirit of your people. I do pray now that you would help me empty myself in sin and fill me with your spirit and help us, God. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. And I pray that you would meet with us here this evening and let our heart's intention be focused on you and your word and what you have to say and how you want to help us here this evening. And we'll be so careful to give you all the praise and honor for it all. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It was already open. I don't know if Brother Bernard drank out of it first, but it was there. I know. I might learn how to sing. Who knows? It's good. Well, this morning we saw this, basically the point that I wanted to drive home this morning was simply this. Abram and Sarai used Hagar to bear seed to fulfill the promise of God, and let me add this, in their own strength, because they lack faith and patience in the promise of God to make them fruitful. All right? They lack faith and patience in the promise of God to make them fruitful, all right? And so she thought the problem is there's no fruit, there's no child, there's no life, we are dying, and the solution was an Egyptian solution, a Hagar solution, and a solution proposed by the culture. And we looked at that, and I made mention of the fact that Hagar is always accessible to believers. Hagar is it represents the natural man. Hagar represents what the natural man would do when we find ourselves in a bind. Everybody understand that? When we find ourselves in a fix, when we find ourselves in hot water, when we find ourselves needing to be fruitful in our own power, Hagar is always available for you and for me. Unfortunately, Hagar does not lead to spiritual fruit. And so we looked at that as well. So Egypt and Hagar, and then the culture. We saw how the culture does not help us because of the unbiblical understanding of gender roles. And the culture places children over the marriage. The culture places pleasure and perverted relationships over God's design for marriage. And the culture places prosperity over marriage. And we saw some of those things that hurt us, and that's just unbiblical. But the fruit of impatience, and what we saw this evening, basically the fruit of impatience produces all kinds of sin. And when we looked at Abram's home, we saw this, that for the next 16 to 17 years after this event, the blessing and harmony of their home was gone, not to be restored for another 16, 17 years, and the price of a painful separation, all right? And so we look at that there, and then we conclude that by faith, we must patiently wait for God to fulfill His promises in our lives to make us fruitful, and we must resist the world's methods of so-called fruitfulness, and by faith, wait on the promises of God. Wait on the promises of God. Now, what is the solution or the answer to impatience? Listen to this from God's perspective. Not from your perspective and not from my perspective, because first of all, there has never, in my opinion, been a human being besides the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, who can give us an example of real patience. The moment you and I begin to define what we think patience is, the moment we find that we really put Hagar into the situation.
Yeah.
Are you with me? All right. So when you get tired and when you get fed up with people, you're not exercising patience from God's perspective. Are you with me? And so we need to keep that in mind. We need to see the solution to impatience from God's perspective, because if I never come to the solution to impatience from God's perspective, I'm never going to be able to walk with God by faith. The Bible says in James 1:5 that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. One minute I'm walking in faith and the next unbelief. One minute I'm exercising patience and the next minute I'm flying off the handle. Let that person think not that they're going to receive anything from God. All right? So now, what's the solution? All right, so now I mentioned earlier, and this is true, our belief and our impatience always affects and hurts other people. And so it was with Sarah and Abram and how they used Hagar.
Yeah.
All right? And how they treated her. They left her deeply hurt. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to be I've said this, but I think it's always good to take note of this right here. Myself, and you included, every last one of us in here, if we have not, then we will. But I believe most of us have in some way, shape, or form, whether we are ignorant or we are informed. Here's what I'm about to say. We have been hurt by people, and we have hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, let's just face it. That's the truth. And some of us live with some of those things on the conscience. But the fact of the matter is, we have either hurt people physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And our ignorance of or our impatience in the promises of God, listen to this, causes us to abandon our particular set of circumstances as fast as we can. And this is what we see with Hagar. She was hurt. But let me tell you, when God came to her, and I may say this again, but before I get into it, God did not deal with her based off of her perspective of hurt. Now, you got to understand, when we get hurt, a lot of times we lose the ability to think straight.
Yeah.
When you get hurt and when I get hurt, oftentimes we lose our ability to be rational and to think straight. And we run.
Yeah.
We may run physically. We may run emotionally. We may run spiritually. But the fact of the matter is, we've experienced something that we do not want to experience again. Or maybe someone has experienced something with you that they'd rather not experience again. And their solution to whatever the problem is let me get out of here as fast as I can. But listen to me, that's not God's solution. That's not God's. We're going to see it here. That's why we have to get it from God's perspective. Some of us have spent our life on the run. And let me just say this. God is still interested in runaways. Let me just say that. Listen, you can spend your life. Hey, you can spend your life avoiding the physical hurts, the emotional hurts, and the spiritual hurts. God is after you. And He is after you because you're on the run. You being on the run does not you're not justified by being on the run just because you've been hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
Your actions don't justify your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to get that. If I'm going to get patience from God's perspective, I've got to understand, because while I'm on the run, I'm also judging my situation from a broken perspective. While I'm on the run, I'm judging the person who hurt me. But I'm not judging them from God's perspective. Are you with me? While I'm on the run and while these emotions are built up, I'm judging people with the hope that God sees it my way. Listen to me. Don't lie to yourself and say you've never been there. And most of the time when something happens to you and you hurt and you get in hot water, you wish that God takes your side and sees it your way. Unfortunately, He does not. He does not. So we've got Abram, we've got Sarah, we've got this lady, Hagar, and she is on the run. And Hagar is saying, like so many of you have said and like I've said, I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that husband. I'm not going back to that wife. I'm not going back to those kids. I'm not going back to that job. I'm not going back to that family situation. I'm not going back to that church. Too much hurt. I'm not going back to that pastor. I'm not going back to that church member. And on and on and on. But understand this. People do not receive the restoration from God's viewpoint because we stay on the run. Wait a minute. But I thought it was Abram and Sarah that were impatient. Well, she's on the run, Hagar, because she's impatient as well.
Wow.
See, you can't define patience by your criteria.
Yeah.
She defined patience by her criteria, and she's on the run. And everyone who is on the run, listen to me. The reason why unforgiveness abides is because people have a criteria that's not God's criteria, and they say, I know when I've had enough.
Wow. How fun.
This is why Christians can't get forgiveness, because the Christians have determined what patience is, and God never gave you that responsibility.
Wow.
He never gave it to me. And this is why things go unresolved. And this is why people stay separated and on the run. What's God's cure for all of this? Do you want it? We sing the song, Who's on the Lord's Side, about following Jesus. I said, I hope this is more than black words on white paper. God gives us a revelation here. And look at what He says. Now understand this, that God is sovereign. How many of you believe that? I spoke with a man yesterday, almost could not believe my ears. He believed that God was all powerful, but he did not believe that God was everywhere. I said, are you listening to yourself? I said, it's impossible for God to have all power and not be everywhere. And he had no problem saying, I don't believe God hears everybody's prayers. So I just try to get real education. I mean, real ABC 1, 2, 3. So I just to be clear, I said, sir, you mean to tell me that if God is in America, then he's not in Africa? And that guy said, yep, he can't be in America and Africa at the same time. I think a man put that in the Bible. Now, listen, we laugh at that. Wait a minute. But we're guilty of the same thing. While I may not open my mouth and say that God can't be in America and in Africa at the same time, I just live like it. And the reason why I run is because God can't help me. But on the run, just like Jacob, as we'll see later, on the run, she ran into the God who could help her. As a matter of fact, she didn't run into him. He was chasing her down. Are you with me? So here she is. She's not going back to the house of Abram and Sarah. She is. And listen, by the way, they totally misrepresented God to her. But in them misrepresenting God to her, God had to show himself for who he was. He couldn't let the runaway keep running away and his name be associated with unrighteousness. Do you see how good God is? Listen, and it's by his grace that when we mess his name up, he'll fix it. This was the problem that he had when you read the book of Ezekiel, and he was going to do this to this nation and do this to the nation of Israel because they had profaned his holy name. Are you with me? So he's not going to allow even believers, Abram and Sarah, profane his holy name to a runaway lost girl on her way to hell. And she should have been able to get help in the household of faith, Abram and Sarah. And instead, she was hurt. And her natural response is to run. It's like we do. That's what the natural man does. He runs. So now, how does God help us with this matter of patience or impatience? How does he develop patience with us? So here she is. God has been poorly represented to her by this time. So God has to confront her first. Now listen to this. I use the word confrontation. Because people who feel that they've been hurt, the last thing they want to be is confronted. Because they've been wronged. One of the reasons some of us in here, when we've been hurt, the reason why we don't want to hear anybody preach to you, teach to you, help, because you're the one who's been the victim. You've been wronged. But the truth of the matter is, you're too blind to see where you have wronged.
That's right. That's good.
And all he was wanting to do was confront this lady who had run, not to tell her about their problems, but to tell her about her problems. This is God confronting Hagar. And notice what he does. Yes, Sarah dealt hardly with her. Verse 6. At the end of it, 6b. But notice this, verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord. I don't want to go into all of this, but this is God himself.
Yeah.
That's a whole other study in itself. But God comes to her, and notice this right here. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. Now here this lady, she could have ran everywhere. But she couldn't run from God. Because he is everywhere.
Amen.
I talked to that guy yesterday. I couldn't believe it. He said, why did God ask Adam where he was? I didn't mean to be mean, but I almost started laughing. I said, you mean to tell me that Adam was hiding in the garden and God didn't know that he was hiding until Adam told God where he was? I said, you don't really believe that, do you? He said, yes, I believe that. He said, I believe that Adam could have hid had he not said, here am I, God. I said, oh, help us. Well, we got the same situation here where God is asking questions. Let me tell you something about the omniscient God. He never asks questions to get information.
That's right.
Has it occurred to you that it's never occurred to God?
Amen.
He knew she was going to run before she even took off. He knew she was going to run before he even gave her feet to run. All right. He knew her down sitting and her uprising. All right. You understand that? So here she is. Just so happens for the God who can't be everywhere. Just so happens that he's there where she is. All right. And he has some questions for her. And the questions are these. Notice he addresses her, Hagar, Sarah's maid. I know exactly who you are. I know exactly where you come from. I know everything about you. I know your present circumstance right now. I know what's going on in your heart. I know your name. You're trying to get back to Egypt. Where, whence camest thou? Now think about this. He says, Hagar, Sarah's maid. And then the question, whence camest thou? Well, if he knows that her name is Hagar,
yeah,
and that she's Sarah's maid, the question almost seems redundant, but it's not, because he's not asking information. He's not asking questions to get information. Understand this. We need to understand this about our God. He's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He's everywhere. Amen. He is asking her this question, and then he's going to ask her another question here. And he says, and whither wilt thou go? Where are you coming from, and where are you going?
Yeah.
Basically, he wants the runaway to stop and consider, where are you coming from, and where are you going? Notice, where are you coming from and where are you going? Now, I know that you've been mistreated, but I'm not asking questions, as I said. I'm not asking questions to be informed about what had just taken place. Why is he asking questions? Listen to this. Here's this woman. She's been hurt. But he's asking questions to bring about conviction. Because while she has been hurt, she has also caused some hurt, and she's also responded to her situation unbiblically. Wait a minute. I don't think we get it. It would be natural even for, I guess, what would even be considered a good counselor to maybe even try to help her calm down. She's just bawling out. She's just crying. Listen, the tears don't mean that she's crying for the right purposes. Now, we don't like this. The tears may very well represent worldly sorrow.
Yeah.
God doesn't deal with you and me based off of worldly sorrow. You need to understand. So while this lady is crying, listen, God knows the motive behind all the tears.
Yeah.
Are you with me? So here she is. Now, where you come from and where are you going? He asks this question, and he wants to arouse conviction in her so that she may be brought to the place of confession of her sin.
Yeah.
A confrontation needs to take place. Listen, if I am going to be cured and delivered of my impatience, I must first be confronted with the fact that I'm not patient. I must first be confronted with the fact that it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, she wasn't an innocent party.
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah.
No matter how bad the situation is, by the way, most of the time when you get hurt, it's a good chance that you're still not the innocent party. It's just that you, in your mind, you've got your situation, and it is the most important thing in the world. And you minimize the evil that you've done and maximize the evil done to you.
Help us.
We all have that tendency. We all have that tendency. So now, he asks these questions to arouse conviction and to bring about confession. And as I mentioned, a broken heart does not mean that one sees things God's way. Your heart has been broken. My heart has been broken. We have broken hearts. But it does not mean that a broken heart necessarily sees things God's way. We've got to get a handle on that if I'm going to have patience God's way. Everybody understand that? Now, tears are not an indicator that one's emotions have led them to take the right course of action when something has went wrong. Tears are not an indicator of that. Now, tears are not an indicator that one's cause is just. When you cry, most of the time we want to get a gathering with us. We want everybody to understand our pain. Everybody with me? We want everybody to understand my hurt. This is what I'm going through. We get on Facebook. We get on Facecrack. We get on Facebook. We get on social media and please cry with me or mourn with me or pray with me because this has happened to me. Oh, me. And that's what we do. We send a text message out. We pay people to cry for us. I mean, the whole deal. We just get crazy sometimes, don't we? Yeah. So we ask these questions. Where do you come from and where are you going? See, Hagar, if you're going to be delivered from your impatience, you need to allow God to confront you about the fact that you're not patient. We never turn and go right without being confronted that we've done wrong. It just does not happen. The wrong way is the wrong way. The wrong way never becomes the right way just because we go on it long enough. I must be confronted about the fact you're on the wrong way. You're on the way of impatience. You're developing the character of a runner. I want to do something in your soul so that when you're confronted with unpleasant circumstances, that the character of your life is not that of a runaway. And in order to do that, I have to develop some patience in you. In order to do that, I have to confront you about the fact that you're not patient.
Yeah.
The circumstances are irrelevant. We make excuses and justify our sin and then think God's supposed to take sides with us and understand my heart's been broken. Mm-hmm. Well, He understands. But that broken heart is still a deceived heart and desperately wicked.
Yeah, that's it.
Now listen. Because the truth of the matter is, because we're the children of God, you're going to have to go through some things again and again. What have you spent your life doing? Some of you have spent your life running. You already know, I'm going to run. I know how to get out of that. Some of us are all too familiar of how to get out of our situations only to run into them again. We're all too familiar. We have no patience in the promises. I'll just run. I'll just quit. I'll just get out of this relationship and get in another one. I'll just do this. This is what we do. And I'm not talking about people that don't know God. It's the natural thing. But we have the supernatural spirit living inside of us.
Amen.
There ought to be a difference. So here she is. He's confronting her. And here's what you need to do, Hagar. I know that you're hurt and I know that you're full of pain. But what does He come and give her? He gives her the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what He tells her. He says, verse number 9, return. Now look at what He tells her. Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. God is out of His ever-loving mind. God, you don't even know. God, you don't. God, no. See, this is the indictment. God, you don't even know what she did to me.
Help us.
You don't even know what He did to me. You don't even know how I feel about this situation. God, I'm actually angry at You right now. You know what God came to her and said? Return and submit. Wait a minute. These people just used me to have their baby. And then she dealt hardly with me. And you're telling me, God, to return and submit? That's what I'm telling you. Yeah. Yeah. I know. And you know what we're thinking? There's got to be another way where it can still seem like I obey God without actually having to do this. That's where most of us go. And we just gross it over. I'm not dealing with the issue of forgiveness. I'm not dealing with the issue of bitterness. I'm going to still continue to try to go some way and serve God. But I ain't touching this right. Wait a minute. God just told me to go back. Yep. Always go back to the place where you departed. always go back to the place where you departed, because the only way you're going to be able to get right. We don't like this. We're talking about getting cured from impatience. We're talking about getting help from impatience. We're talking about what you're... Hey, we're getting ready to get into biblical parenting by the grace of God. And you know, this is just as relevant. We're talking about return and submit. God, you must not know who this lady Sarai is. I know exactly who she is. God, you must not know the circumstances that I'm running from. I know I actually created the circumstances that you're running from. I am still the sovereign God. Even when your life doesn't make sense, I am still the sovereign God. I am still all-knowing, even though it seems that your life is upside down. I am still God. So what are you going to inform God on? What circumstance do you have that you're going to let Him know that He didn't already know? And we spend all of our time doing that and never doing what He actually commanded us to do. And then we're wondering why we can't move forward. Are you with me? So, listen. Sarah, not Sarah, but Hagar. Acknowledge what you've done. I'm asking you questions so that you will search your heart to see what wrong you have done. You need to repent of your wrong, and then you need to do exactly what I say do. Repent and return. So now God brings her some comfort after He confronts her. Look at verse 10. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and thou shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. He will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now she receives this promise from God. And Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation. Right? But notice what Ishmael's name means. This is quite the... I think the word is paradox, because the Arabs as a whole... Many of them are of the Muslim faith, but Ishmael's name means God hears. God hears. So God gave a promise to Hagar in the naming of her son. God told Hagar, name your son Ishmael, and let Ishmael be a constant reminder that I hear. But understand this. We need to understand when the Bible reveals to us that God hears. Let me finish the thought. God doesn't hear just for the sake of hearing. God hears for the sake of doing. So, Hagar, I've given you this son so that whenever you look at him, you are reminded of what I've done for you. I hear for the sake of doing something about what I hear. I heard your cry. I saw your broken heart. And I'm not only the God who sees, but I take action on what I see. So I want you to go back to where you come from. And I want you to understand, I'm going to make a great nation out of your son, Ishmael. And I'm telling you that through the naming of this child, I will always be available to hear your cry and distresses and meet your need if you will only call upon me. And that's the clause right there. If only you will call upon me. They haven't come to know the true and living God, many of the Arabs. But the true and living God will hear them if they call upon him. Yeah, it's important to reach the Muslims. It's important to reach the Arabs. We have a promise right here. That's not the message, but it's still a promise. God says, I'll hear you when you call upon me, and I'll do something about it. But Allah can't help them. But the God who sees can. Everybody with me? So he makes her this promise. And then he tells about the nature of her son. He is the first Arab. All Arabs would descend from him. And basically, the Bible says he would be a wild man. God hears wild man. The very nature of the wild man is going to prevent him from calling upon the one who hears. But God says, if they do call, I will hear. So he comforts her with these promises. God heard the cry of Hagar in the midst of the desert, and he met her need. So there's the confrontation, there's the comfort, there's the promises, and her response is this: worshiping and praising God. We're still dealing with patience here. So now look at verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. Wait a minute. Now you think about this. You think about this. You think about her broken heart running away from Abram and Sarah, thinking that no one in the world knows where she is and no one in the world cares what she's going through. And all of a sudden she runs into the God who knows everything about her, cares about what's going on with her, and is going to do something about what's going on with her. You know what that brings out in the person when they get a hold of that? Worship. I've just met the God who knows everything about me. I've just met the God who knows how to deal with the situation in my heart. I just met the God who can show me by confronting me with who I am. Worship. Worship. Are you with me? Worship. Now, what does worship and praise do? Here's what worship and praise do. Worship and praise breaks through all the tears. It breaks through all the thorns in the heart. It breaks through all the falsehoods that have been set up in the heart, because now I've actually set the true and living God up in the heart. And when I set the true and living God up in the heart through worship and through praise, now my perspective becomes God's perspective. What do you mean? I mean, just imagine telling her to go back and submit without her heart being changed, without a vision of God. Are you with me? And here she is. She is now in awe in the presence of God, who not only sees and hears, but he's done something about what he saw and what he heard concerning her. He's not just the God who sees and hears, but he actually stepped into her circumstances. And that's where the praise comes. She worshiped him for who he is. She praised him for what he did. Now her heart and now her mind is clear. Now she's in a position to do what God has commanded her to do. So if I'm going to be cured from impatience, I need to allow God to confront me. I need to allow him to confront me with the fact that I'm just as guilty as the people that I'm pointing the finger at. I need to allow God to confront me about my transgressions and my wickedness. And here I am piling it on more by trying to run and say, hey, I'm right and these folks are running. I'm just standing my ground. That's all she's doing, standing her ground, running. That's all some of us have been doing all of our life, is stand our ground just by running. This is who I am. I'm not willing to change. If I don't like the way something is, I'm just going to run from it. I don't want no trouble. I ain't nobody about a lot of issues or whatever the case may be. The situation get too hot, I'm out of here. God says, I'm after you, run away. I'm after you, run away. I'm after you, run away. Well, I run when it comes to circumstances where forgiveness needs to take place. God says, I'm after you. I run from circumstances where it means I have to get my anger dealt with. God says, I'm after you. I run from circumstances where it's going to cause my character to be confronted and cause my character to have to be conformed to the image of Christ. And we run and we run and we run and we run. And God says, I'm after you.
Yeah.
I'm after you. He says, I'm after you. So there's the confrontation. There's the comfort in the promises of God. Listen, some of us are not resting in being comforted in the promises of God. Some of us run with impatience and we fly off the handle because we don't believe that vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And so through our impatience, we flee. Sometimes we flee by fighting back. See, some of us don't look at it like that. Are you with me?
Yeah.
God wants to help us. He wants to help me. He wants to help His people. Oftentimes, when we run, all we're saying is, I don't want help God's way. I've got a better way, and it's called run. I've got a better way, and it's called not developing Christ-like character by submitting to the Spirit of God. Running is just another worldly method. Jesus said He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. One of the ways that we experience abundant life is stay in the fire. One of the ways. What does Satan come to do? To kill, steal, and destroy. One of the ways he kills, steals, and destroys is when we run. He steals the opportunity for restoration when we run. And he kills relationships when we run. Everybody understand that? And every time I do the natural thing, I'm set back. And I play right into the enemy's hand and into the hand of the flesh. The biggest enemy, by the way. Your flesh is bigger than the devil. Because you're your own worst enemy. So here's the natural thing. So he says, listen, there's the confrontation. There's the comfort. There's worship and praise. And then there's the repenting of her impatience. And then there's obeying God right there. David said, I thought on my ways. Then he turned. He made haste. We're too busy figuring out if we really want to obey God or not.
Help us.
God, I heard you said. That sounds nice, God. I don't really think I want to obey that. But thanks for informing me, God. Let not that man or woman think that they're going to get anything from God. Let not that man or woman think that you're going to... Some of us are in the same place from 5, 10, 15 years ago because when it comes to being transparent with God, we're just not transparent. And how do we know that there's a lack of transparency with God? Because there's a lack of transparency with the people that have either hurt or been hurt. This is one of the evidences. See, listen, remember I preached that message on the Christian warp and woof?
Yep.
That vertical relationship with God and how it affects the horizontal relationships. If I am not right with God, if I'm not transparent with God, I can't be transparent with the person where I've been hurt. Here's a woman who just got clean.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes back. She got clean. She's believing the promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's going to submit to some circumstances that are not necessarily favorable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how would you think about something just go down like this and they want to... Now look at this. God said, name the baby Ishmael. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to point out some things here. When we repent of our impatience and we begin to obey God, it may mean, hey... It may mean, and most times it will mean, forgiving the family members or the people that hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem with forgiveness, you hadn't been transparent with God in the worship closet.
That's right.
Because worship transforms.
Yep.
Unforgiveness to forgiveness.
Yes.
Everybody with me? You cannot come into the presence of God, a forgiving God, and remain unforgiving. You're not transparent. We're not honest. If I've done business with God...
Yep.
And then we got this attitude, I can forgive, but I just can't forget. You're not being very honest.
That's right.
You're not being very honest. We're still dealing with patience, by the way. We're still dealing with patience. Everybody with me? We're still dealing with patience. So now, many of us miss God's best because of unforgiveness. We don't want to forgive, and it hinders the blessings of God. It hinders spiritual growth, and it hinders healing and whatever relationship was interrupted because of some offense. So in order for Hagar to go home and receive God's best, she had to forgive Abram and Sarah for using her and hurting her.
Yeah.
And no beating around the bush. They had to call it what it was. She had to call it what it was. No beating around the bush. She had to submit to God by submitting to her family members. As awkward as this is, all of a sudden, they're now family. Mm-hmm. She's got the man's child. Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. Was this God's will for Abram to marry Hagar? Mm-hmm. Wasn't God's will. But I want you to notice something. Now, God could have done what He wants in the situation, but you know what He's teaching in the midst of our craziness? Mm-hmm. Redemption. Redemption. You go back. I am going to redeem this situation. I'm going to redeem your set of circumstances. Yeah, it's jacked up. Yes, it's polygamous. No, I don't accept polygamy, but I am the God of redemption. And I'm going to step into your broke situation. And by my grace, I'm going to make it what it ought to be. Isn't that amazing? So go back. Go back. See, the sovereignty of God keeps Him several steps ahead of what we could ever be. God knew this before He set foot in Egypt, before Abram did, back there in Genesis chapter 12. Are you with me? And all the damage that was done there. God is sovereign. So submitting to God could mean submitting to family members, even when they are wrong or unjust. I don't get it. I ought to stand up for my rights. Well, show me where Jesus stood up for His rights when He was unjustly treated. This is what we have a difficult time with. And the reason why we have a difficult time with it is because I walk by sight, not by faith. I seen and felt and heard what they done to me. You don't understand what they done to me. You don't understand the sovereignty of God. And this is how Joseph could say, "You meant it evil unto me, but God meant it for good." And rarely do we exercise that kind of vision, but rarely do we see the results of a Joseph. Are you with me? We're too busy getting even. We're too busy thinking that we got it all straightened out. We're too busy knowing who the enemy is, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're too busy thinking we know who done wrong to us. We're too busy thinking those things. Remember over in Ephesians, right before God calls wives to submit to their husbands, Ephesians 5:21 says this, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Before He begins to give instruction on wives, he gives this statement, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Even an authority can humbly submit to someone under them. And that's what Christ did when he washed the disciples' feet and served them. Was He not over them? Did He not submit Himself to serve them? Yep. And listen, they didn't have it all together. You know, in your home, you're going to serve people. They don't have it all together. But the basis of service is not whether or not they have it all together. And how do you know that you can forgive them? How do you know that you have forgiven? When you can serve them with joy. Knowing, you know what? They don't have it all together. But my focus is not on the fact that they don't have it all together. My focus is the fact that I need to humble my heart and do what God told me to do. If I'm going to be cured from my impatience, if you are going to be cured from your impatience, God's looking to confront you with the word where you went off at. So many times I want to deal with what the people did to me. God says, "I want to deal with what you did to me."
That's good. That's right.
You want God to deal with the people with what they did to you. God says, "I want to deal with you with what you did to me."
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
We don't like that. Well, you don't understand. Well, go ahead. Congratulations. You finally figured it out. The preacher don't understand. Good. If you're waiting on me to understand your situation, then you're in trouble. But it ain't about whether or not I understand it. It's about what God said. And it ain't about somebody else understanding your situation. It's about what God said. Nobody know what I'm going through. No, you just wouldn't understand. You just wouldn't understand. You wouldn't understand. So now you having a party with a group of people that don't understand. And I don't know what's the use in that. Stop lying. Stop lying and accusing God of not being omniscient, saying that He wouldn't understand. Did you hear what I said? The reason why we're so irrational is because we really don't believe God understands. We know that sister don't understand. It don't. Oh, child, I've been there. You still don't understand. You still. I don't care how many people they. You just listen. I know we both wear size 7 shoes, but you still ain't ever walked in mine. You just don't understand. God not only made the shoe, but He has walked in it.
Yeah.
All right, and He's also walked before you. He understands. You got to quit lying to yourself about God not understanding. You're never going to get help if somebody don't understand. You're never going to get help, because if God don't understand, He can't give you commands on what to do. You're going to have to humble your heart and accept that there is someone who does understand more infinitely and better than you ever will. Amen? If I'm going to get patience. So, submitting to God's will and developing patience, it may mean faithfully enduring a difficult situation or relationship. Did you hear that? If God is sovereign and He ordains the things that He ordains the people that are in our life and the circumstances that are in our life. That's the difference between patience and forbearing. Patience has to do with circumstances. Forbearing has to do with people. Are you with me? We see the word patience and forbearance, and they have similarities, but the difference is this. There are some circumstances I'm involved with. It may involve people, but the ultimate end, I don't have control over these circumstances. But we don't always say that with people. Sometimes I can get away from this person. But getting away from a person doesn't necessarily remove you from a circumstance. Not all the time. So I need patience and I need forbearance. Are you with me? And God says, I want to develop this in you. So running from a difficult situation is going to help you be impatient, because you're not developing any kind of muscle that's going to make you patient, help you be patient. Now, Hagar has to go back. She has, listen to this, she has no assurances that things are going to be better. We need to get this. Because see, God, if you want me to go back, then what guarantees do I have? Are they going to be nice to me? Are they going to roll out the red carpet? You know, I'll say sorry if they say sorry first, and we play these ridiculous little games. I only forgive if they've extended forgiveness first. Where do you get that from?
Yeah. Help us.
And you'll stay bitter just as long as, I mean, you don't hear forgiveness. They'd have moved on with their life, and you stay bitter because you just never heard them ask for forgiveness. Where do we get that from? We don't get that from God. We do not get that from God. Are you with me? So submitting to God's will, it may mean that, hey, you're in a difficult situation, and I know that you're in a difficult situation, and no, I am not bailing you out of this difficult situation. I am looking to develop patience in you. You don't think the cross was a difficult situation? And what made it more difficult? That God from eternity knew that He would come and endure it? You think that just made it easier? Are you listening to me? Well, it was easy to hang on the cross. That was easy. No, that was the most difficult thing anyone could have ever went through. But He endured the cross. Mm-hmm. He endured the cross. You know what He's teaching you? He's teaching you patience. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Because He didn't just hang up on it for a few hours. Mm-hmm. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth,
yes.
The world.
Yes.
He knew about difficult situations and enduring and being patient. He could help us and tell us some things about that. So, that confrontation with God, that comfort from God, that worship and praise of God, that gives me that right perspective. And now I need to get up and go do what God told me to do. Are you with me? Many times it's God's will that we suffer through hardships and not seek deliverance, even when we know we've been wronged. We have to trust that God is sovereign, that He has a plan. He's after the runaway because He's got a purpose for the runaway. And no, God does not believe in you pointlessly suffering. God always has a purpose, whether you ever figure it out or not. We have to do what God wants us to do. So now, Hagar, I want you to go back and live in the household of faith, even though they've been very unfaithful. I want you to go back and live with Abram and Sarah. I want you to live in hope of the promised land while living in the world. They're headed to the promised land. You are now involved in that. And I want you to bear and raise Ishmael, which God has promised. Now you need to go back and do that. Now listen to this. Ishmael grows up in this household before they sever some 16, 17 years later. But it tells me this right here. It doesn't specifically say it, but I just want to give you this. Abram and Sarah repented and they obeyed, receiving Hagar back just as God instructed. And here's one of the biggest indicators of that. They didn't try to change the name of the child. Now I want you to think about that. They had plans for that child. Abram and Sarah did. And had they had their way, I don't think the child's name would have been Ishmael. But when she comes back and says, God told me to name the child Ishmael, they name the child Ishmael, saying, we're submitting to God's plan.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Now, our plan would have named him this. But we produce fruit by using Hagar. Are you with me? Through our impatience. So we can't take that route. We have to get back to the place where we believe God by faith. And we patiently wait for the promises of God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Listen. We need to confess when we've run ahead of God. We talked about this a little bit this morning. When we've run ahead of God because we're impatient. We need to confess when we've devised human plans or adopted worldly philosophies and hurting and mistreating others along the way, instead of walking by faith and patiently waiting for God to make us fruitful. We must go before God. We must allow God to confront us. And we need to repent of the wrong that we have done. And we need to start obeying God by being patient with the people in our lives and our present circumstances. And as I mentioned, that requires transparency with God. You worried about your situation? You worried about your circumstances? Here's what God says. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Hagar had to do that. Abram had to do that. Sarah had to do that. That He may exalt you in due time. You know, when I run, I'm really just looking to exalt myself. When I'm running, I haven't cast all my cares upon Him. When I run, I don't realize that He careth for me. 1 John 4:20 says this, if a man say, I love God, now listen to this, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Hagar, you love me? Go back. Abram, Sarah, you love me? Repent. The bitterness that has risen, it needs to be put down. The hate that has taken place, it needs to be put down. You can't say that you love each other and you see each other. Or you can't say that you love me who you haven't seen and you don't love the people that you have seen. God says, I'm wanting to develop some patience in you. You got some areas of your life where you're impatient? Maybe it's dealing with people. Maybe it's with your husband or your wife. Maybe it's with your children. Maybe it's with that coworker. Maybe it's with that church member. Maybe it's some long-standing thing that maybe God wants to scratch tonight. You know what I mean by that? Maybe it's something that God wants to do. You've been covering it up and you found another way to obey God without actually obeying Him. And God says, let me just blow your cover tonight and help you see you can't move forward with me like that. You need to deal with your actions based off of unbelief and impatience, and you need to deal with them biblically, and you need to let me help you. Let me confront you. Let me comfort you. Why don't you get a right view of who I am that you may worship me and praise me the right way, and then you go back and do what I told you to do. And by the way, no matter how long you're on the run, God never changed the fact that you need to be confronted. And the fact that, hey, God never... Well, I wonder, does God work with people differently now who need patience than He did before? No, He doesn't. You don't even have to worry about whether or not He's ever changed His mind. You never have to worry about whether or not you need to be confronted, whether or not you need to be comforted with His truth. You need to worship Him, see who He is, and then you need to do what He says.
Yeah.
He says here, and I quote these passages, we're done. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Listen to this, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Psalm 40 and verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Some of us don't hang around long enough for the Lord to hear our cry. We run. It's time to get transparent with God. We want to move forward. We're talking about moving forward by faith. I cannot move forward through impatience and unbelief. I cannot move forward. I'm going to be double-minded at best, and I cannot expect to receive anything from God. So, here's the cure for impatience. Confrontation. Are you with me? That leads to conviction, confession, cleansing, comfort. Right? There must be that confrontation. And then I must do what He's revealed to me to do. And I must trust God. That's going to require some transparency. That's going to require some transparency. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for loving us. Thank You for Your mercies. We thank You for the Word of God. And God, we all need Your help in this passage of Scripture going forward by faith and patience in the promises of God. May we not sit idle and allow destruction and death to take place because we are impatient. We know that You are sovereign. Help us to see that the things that come into our life do not catch You off guard. Help us to trust You when things sting the most and the fire is the hot and we've been hurt the most and we've been hurt by that person who's closest to us or we've hurt that person who's closest to us. And God, let us just be transparent and understand that if I've been in a situation where some hurt has taken place, there's a good chance that I've dished out some hurt. Would You have mercy upon us, Father? And would we allow You to be our justifier and let us cease from trying to justify ourselves? Let us trust You. We thank You. Have mercy upon us, God. Purge us. We see in this Scripture as You are so faithful and here are three people You could have been done with and You give them a chance again and again and again. And You demonstrate Your patience by giving another chance again and again. Would You have mercy upon us, God? Let us just praise You right now that we are here assembled only because You've given us another chance. That's patience. Thank You for modeling it for us. We have no excuse, Father. May Your Spirit rule and referee in our heart. And we'll thank You for all that You've done and will do. In Jesus' name, amen.